It's good to be in the house of the Lord, amen.
Amen.
Go ahead and let our musicians be seated if you'd like to. I'd like to share a little bit on the missions trip with you this morning, if that'd be okay.
Amen.
If you don't mind, for the reading of the missions report, I didn't give her this scripture, but let's turn in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. Just say amen when you got it.
Amen.
Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. And Lord, you know I'm a little tired in my flesh, God, but I just want to push that to the side and ask you that you could come down, Lord, and give your bride the presence that you want, that they need this morning, Lord. And Lord, I want to be able to give this report the due diligence, God, and Lord, be able to show them what you've done, Lord, because there's it's not me, Father, it's you, Lord. And I ask you, Father, that you would help me to not exaggerate, Lord, but don't leave anything out also, Lord. I want to tell it just the way it is. I love you, Lord, and I want to thank you for what you've done, Lord, not just in my life, but in the congregation here, Lord, the ministry here, Father. I'm so thankful to be a part of it, Father. I love you. I thank you. I ask you to touch every heart here, Lord, and Lord God, may we be able to receive today what you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You can be seated. She's got some a PowerPoint I give to her this morning. We'll see if she can get that thing going for us. And I know you're not going to be able to read that more than likely on the top, so I'll read it for you. In Honduras, we flew into San Pedro Sula on the 14th, and I must say it was a blessing on the trip there as far as flying. I've seen a lot of people go through a lot of trouble going through customs, and they were really digging through their things, and it's like almost like they knew me. It was almost awkward when I walked through. Just said, hey, they pointed through, looked at me, and I was like, come through. And I just walked through, and in every airport, they sent me straight through.
Man.
And on the way home, the same way, and there's a bunch of color folks there. Who's this guy? He must be somebody important. You're like, well, I am important.
That's right.
I got a special passport from the Lord, amen.
Amen.
So, I mean, the whole trip there was a blessing. We went to Las Casitas, and this is a new work that Brother Paco's been working on. On my last trip, this is Brother Avero Castro. He's from Subriana, Yoro. And he was a carpenter working on furniture and on a house. And as I was going to the meeting where we were going to have some services, and I seen this brother, and I stopped by and I talked to him. And he didn't look like that back then. He had I don't remember if he had a shirt on. But I just walked by and I started talking to him. And I don't know why, I just felt impulsed in my heart to talk to this man. And I'm walking by several people. This is way up on the mountain. And I see this man. And he's over there, and I just keep feeling a pull to go talk to him. So I go over and I talk to him, and I try to get him, and I'm speaking through Brother Paco, and I try to get him to come to the service, and he says, no, I can't, I've got work to do, I'm working here. And so I would really love for you to come, and I don't remember what all I said to him, but shook hands, and I went on to the meeting, and went on with my trip. And I found out when I got there that this man was listening to the service from under a mango tree, and give his heart to the Lord. And he went to his home in Las Casitas, which is about 4 hours away from that meeting, and he opened his home up because he's not a minister. And Brother Paco's been coming there for the last year and a half and having services, and there's about 18 believers there now.
Amen.
And this is the brother now. He's got his clothes on, and just a very, very humble brother. And I was there and I seen them. They take offerings up, and I seen this brother. He's very due to the diligence. He'd pull out a notebook paper that he's got, And he'd be writing down the amounts given in offerings, how much is given in missions. And they're already supporting missions work.
Amen.
And they're in a house with no roof. And I seen that. I said, you know, I said, I can't let that happen. I said, I'll find out what it would cost to get a roof on their house. And by God's grace, I gave them enough money to get the roof for their house. And I hired another brother to do the labor for him. And so we started it with this day. And I'll show you the finished product in a little while. And go ahead and turn to the next slide, if you don't mind. This is another meeting that we went to. This is Brother Victor. This is another amazing to see on this trip. These are fruits from trips before. A few years ago on my trip, we started having, I remember, how many members me telling you about the testimony of the medicine, the man selling medicine that was going from house to house trying to sell medicine? Does anybody remember the testimony? I'll refresh your memories. There was a man in the mountain. He was going from house to house and he sold medicine. He was going from door to door and trying to say, this is the medicine, almost like a vacuum cleaner salesman, but it's medicine. And knocking on doors, and he went to a house, and I didn't have to put this picture on there, but it was just a house he went to, and he got caught in a rainstorm. And he wasn't a minister. He was just a man doing his job, trying to provide his family. And he got caught in a rainstorm trying to show them the medicine, and this man that he was at was a professional hitman. And you wouldn't know by talking to him, but he was kind of a rough place. But he was there, and he got stopped in the rainstorm, and he didn't want to go out there because it's raining. And he said, "You mind if I sit on your porch?" He says, "No, you can stay on the porch." And was watching the rain, and he began to talk to them about the message. Not a minister. He's just a man doing his job. He said, talking about the message of the hour. And this man, this hitman, was sitting there, and he started listening, and it sparked something inside of him. And he said, "I want to know more about this message you're talking about, because I've heard things out there before." And he said, "I'm not a minister." He said, "But I know somebody that is. I know a man by the name of Brother Paco." And so he got a hold of Brother Paco, and at the same time period is when I'm coming to Honduras. And Brother Paco has had services there before, and the man gave his heart to the Lord the night before. And I went to that service the next day, and we had service there at the house, and several gave their heart to the Lord. And it was a wonderful thing, and we built a church. Well, since from that rising right there, a man rose up and gave his heart to the Lord, Brother Victor, and he's a pastor now. Brother Victor has started this work here. This is in Subiana, Yora. And Brother Victor has started this work here, and we had this service where we come. This is just a house on another mountain. So we've got a work over here that we'd already done, and this is another work from that work. Well, we come here and had this service. I have never been here before. There was a man there that gave his heart to the Lord. And he was an old man, probably in his 60s. And he just really pouring his heart out before God. He wanted to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. With both hands raised up, he said, "I've been looking for this since 1977. He said, "I knew there was something more. I knew there had to be something more." And got the liberty to baptize him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We baptized three that morning. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Go ahead and keep going through. And I didn't put all the pictures on because I didn't want to take too much time. The Lord had done, it's good to see what the Lord had done from previous trips, what he had done. And by the grace of God, we were able to buy Bibles there. And you can just go ahead and keep scrolling through if you don't mind. The Bibles that we had bought, by the grace of God, I think we got, it was about right at 60 Bibles altogether, and given them out and to pastors and people that didn't have them. And it's a very good quality Bible. It's not just a cheap Bible and a durable case. Their case is just as good as mine, a leather case. And I paid a little money for mine. And I was real happy with the Bibles that we'd gotten. So this is Brother Manuel from Morazan. That's his children. He's got a few. But I'm telling you what, I've never met a bigger man than that man right there. And it's the little man beside Brother Paco. That brother is so stern in the gospel, so straight with the gospel. I mean, I've never met a man quite like him. On my last trip, the far one on the left, that is Brother Paco's wife. And that one next to her, I can't remember that sister's name, but I remember her very clearly. On my last trip, it was her 19th birthday. And at the end of service, there were souls all at the altar that had given their heart to the Lord. And that sister wanted to come up for a special request. She said, "I want to be a true Christian." She said, "I know I'm 19. She said, "I don't want to rush into my life. I want to wait until God sends me the right husband." And she said, I want to follow the word first. And if I've ever seen a true display of the bride of Jesus Christ, it was that right there. And so I thought that was just wonderful. I want you to remember Brother Emmanuel. That brother has always been good to me. Every time I went, he's always opened his doors to me. And please remember him, because he preaches the word straight, but when you do that, you've got opposition. The devil really fights against you. It's not the unbelievers he has problems with, it's the denominational churches. And go ahead and go to the next slide. This is a church on the mountain that we had. This year, there was people that were walking for 3 and 4 hours to come to the meeting. At this service, there was several that gave their heart to the Lord. But at the end of the service, and I can't see them from right here, but there was a mother on one side and a husband on the other side, and I didn't know who they were. At the end of the service, the husband came up to the front, and he wanted prayer, and he said, and he just whispered his prayer to Brother Paco to tell me. He said, "I've got 2 children here that are not serving the Lord." And he said, "I just want them to serve the Lord." And I preached the token. I told him, "And you have the Holy Ghost, it entitles you to the full benefits of the Word of God when you have the token." And he said, "You've preached the token." He said, "I believe I have the token. I want to claim my children right now." And a woman came up to the front and stood right beside him, and I didn't know who she was. And she said, "I want to claim my children," speaking to him. And I noticed them two join hands. I'm like, "Well, wait a minute, what's going on here?" And it was husband and wife. Didn't say anything real loud to the congregation. Nobody could hear because they were singing songs. And I said, "We're going to claim them right now." I didn't know who their children was. I said, "But we're going to claim them right now by the blood of Jesus Christ." I said, "You do have the token. It entitles you to this. We're going to claim it and by the blood of Jesus Christ." And we took hands right there. Brother Parker on one side and them on the other sides, and we prayed right there. And just bowed our heads. I'm telling you, just the presence come down in the building. And I heard a loud scream, and 2 young ladies come running to the front of the altar and give her heart to the Lord right there at the altar. And it was overwhelming. It was wonderful.
Amen.
And claim your children. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead and go to the next slide. And this is where we're traveling again, me and my brother Paco. Let's keep going. This is the kitchen. You sisters want new appliances? This is what they cook out of right here. This is where they make their tortillas. And this is like they'll actually get that thing hot inside there, and they'll cook their bread and everything inside there. Go ahead and go to the next slide. This is the house before I put the roof on it. And I wish I would have got better pictures of the house. I was really busy at the time, but there was no roof at anywhere. So when it rained, their stuff just got wet. This right here is my professional barber. You can go to this man there. It's a brother, and you talk about brothers. You talk about going to a barber shop and listen to people tell stories. This is a believer's barber shop. You can get this man in the yellow. He's a professional barber there, and you go there, and I could stay there all day long. Because you go to barber shops now with unbelievers, they talk about a bunch of nonsense and lies and everything else. You go there, we just sharing stories about Brother Branham, what we've seen Brother, heard Brother Branham do, and what we've seen God do, and that's a dandy right there. He's a real good brother. Go ahead and go to the next slide. And brothers, especially young guys, you think you're mowing yards is hard. Look at this young guy. He's hauling wood down the road with a wooden wheelbarrow, wheels and all. So just remember, the old lawnmower that you're using, it's pretty good lawnmower compared to something like that. Go ahead and go to the next one. And this is just one of the houses there. It's made out of dirt. And go ahead and keep going. I say clay, not dirt, it's clay. And this is Brother Victor's house. You can see the mountain above his view behind his house. And this is the shower. And the way they do the showers with the blue curtain is, that's the shower. And the bathroom is right beside it, the tin barn. So, you know, when you're thinking the bathroom needs updated, we've got a pretty nice bathroom. You say amen?
Amen.
Go ahead and go to the next one. This is right behind them is where that brother, he met in the rainstorm. That's where we started the services at, right there behind there, that little building behind there. And that is his wife. Go ahead and go to the next slide. And this is the brother. 1977. He's been looking for, since 1977, he's been looking for this message. And go ahead and go to the next slide. Let's go ahead and keep going through. On my first trip to Honduras, I led that brother to the Lord. I didn't even recognize him. I didn't. He came up to me, and I was up here. This is a new work that we had done. And he rode up, put his arms around me, hugged me. I just thought it was the brother. So just let me dig it. He said, he kept talking to me. I think, well, I don't know what you're saying. Brother Paco came up there, and Brother Paco, he said, Paco, we go over there. And he said, oh, Brother Daniel, he said, you led him to the Lord. I thought that was wonderful.
Amen.
This is the two sisters that give their heart to the Lord during the service. That middle one there, she's just a dandy. She's just so smiley, so happy. I mean, she was just real excited. It was wonderful. Go ahead and just keep going to the next slide. And I had some friends there. I don't know. I think they like my camera or my phone a little bit more than me. But go ahead and go to the next one. And this is the barber. That's one of the most humble brothers I've ever met. Is that brother right there? He will never. I went there this time because I just wanted to support his business because he wouldn't let me pay him last time. I said, "Well, Paco, I want to go and get my hair cut because I want to support my brother's business." And he says, "Brother," he said, "you'd be stealing my blessing if you paid for that." He said, "No," he said, "I'll do this." And I tried to explain. He said, "No, you don't explain to me. I know." He said, "I know." I said, "Okay," and he knows. I've went to barber shops here, and I can explain in detail what I want you to do, and they still don't do it. And this brother, not to criticize them, but this man has a gift. He's really good, and just the fellowship that you have there is wonderful. And I think that may be the last one. Is that the last one? And so I have lots and lots and lots and lots of pictures, and my one that usually takes my photos is Brother Paco's daughter, but she had to stay at the store this time, so I didn't have anyone to get really do photos. And when I'm there, I don't want to be so concentrating on getting the pictures that I miss the trip. And so that's why I ask you to forgive me for not doing many, many pictures of that, but I feel like that's the most important thing is to focus on the mission. Because I feel like it's real easy to get so caught up on wanting to show what's going on that you're missing the opportunity. And so there's a lot of times I wish I could have got pictures and videos, but I didn't. But I think the Lord knows why.
Amen.
It's get emotional every time I think about it. Going there, I wish you could go with me. It's wonderful. We had talked to them brothers. There was a lot of saints that come from the Eagle Lighthouse Chapter. I think it was actually Pecola back then, or maybe even Kyoto. They had went to Mexico years ago, and they told them. They said, "Well, now whenever you're done with your food," he said, "say Mas Frijoles." And so they were full, and they said Mas Frijoles, and that means more beans. And so they would go, and they'd go get more beans, and bring them to him, and says Mas Frijoles. And they're like, "Really?" And they go get more beans, and this just kept going on. And finally, they caught on what was going on, and they tried pouring that on me while I was there. But they said, "Just tell them Mas Frijoles." And I said, "Brother, you want to tell me that? I like beans." Yeah, so I fit in really good there. The Lord was really good to me. One of the services that we'd went to, it was at Brother Lorenzo's church. It was in Agua Blanca. While we were there, I mean, I felt so energized in the Spirit of the Lord, so strong. And then when we got there, I felt intimidated. I can't explain how intimidated I felt. And when I got there, I did not know why. I just felt almost to the point where my hands were like shaking. And I told Brother Paco, I said, "I don't know why." I said, "I feel extremely intimidated." And he felt the same way. And we just kept praying, kept pressing through before the service and just praying. It's extremely intimidated. I've never quite had it like that before. And we got into service. We stepped up there. And for a moment, I started feeling the same way during the service. Started getting the service started. And then I realized what it was. The devil was really trying to stop this service. And we just kept pressing through and kind of left my notes. And we ended up on David and Goliath. And I'm going to tell you something. We had church. That spirit broke, and when it broke, I'm telling you, we had church. We had people giving their heart to the Lord. There was people being healed. Wonderful. It was a wonderful thing. But I want you to, I'm going to say that to remind you this. If you ever feel intimidated by that, a lot of times it's because the devil wants to stop you from doing something.
Right.
And and when you're under the intimidation, sometimes it's hard to realize that.
Right.
The other Monday, we know what happened Sunday. Monday, I had lost my phone. And I'm talking to customers all day long, different customers, I don't know, lots of customers. And someone asked me for something. I said, yeah, no problem. I reached down, and my phone is gone. And it's got my credit card information on it. It's got, I want more of my notes than anything. So I like to look at my notes. And I went into, at first, no big deal, we'll find it. And we started looking around, couldn't find it. And started digging around, calling, couldn't find it. And my chest started, heart started beating a little bit. And I said, no, it's no big deal, we'll find it. And 1 hour goes by. 2 hours goes by, and I'm not finding it. And then when we're calling, it's going straight to voicemail. I'm like, oh, no, someone's got my phone. And so I think we do the phone locate, and I look on the website, and we set it up, and it says, we're going to text you this information. Put this in, and we'll locate your phone. I'm like, well, let me find it real quick, and we'll do that. You know? I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm looking. I'm telling you what, next thing I know, it's probably been 3 hours. And I call Vicki, and she, from the deal, and she knows I'm starting to get kind of in panic mode, because so I need this phone. I do my job with it, and I've got information, even for customers' information on there, and I feel that intimidation feeling again. I feel I'm starting really intimidated, and the thought that come to my mind from, and I believe it was the Lord, said, nothing can happen to you unless I allow it. And I'm stressing, and I'm looking, and it's a louder voice. It's nothing can happen unless I allow it. And I thought to myself, what about yesterday and these? And I was like, wait a minute, let me search myself with the scriptures. Have I been faithful in my tithes and offering? Yes, I have. I'm standing my ground. I said, you know what? I have looked around. I have fret about this. I have stressed over this. I have walked this parking lot all over. I've done one thing I have not done, and that is really take this before God. And so I went to my car, opened the door, and I just put my hands on the steering wheel. And said, God, I have stressed over this. I have looked. I've called. And the one thing I have not done, I haven't just come to you directly. And I said, God, I've looked for 3 hours. And I said, God, I ask you, show me where my phone's at. You know I got to have it. And because it does my job and everything. And I get out of my car, and I go forward, and something just tells me to turn around. And I look over, and I see way down in the parking lot, in a dirt lot, I see something black sitting up there with tire marks all over it. I go up there, knock the dust off, and there was tire marks all over my phone, everything, and picked it up. It works just fine.
That's a miracle.
I'm going to tell you what, that's God.
Amen.
But you know what? If I never went through that situation, I would never have a reason to pray. I would never have a reason to seek God for that. And that's why a lot of times we have trials happen, because we have to have a fight to win a fight. Amen. And so I thought that was just wonderful. I'd like to share that with you. So if you lose your phone, we know what to do. Amen. Let's all stand. Starting to get the scriptures for you. It's in Ecclesiastes 11, 1 through 6. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not that is in the way of the spirit, or how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. I ask you to bless the reading of your word now, Lord. And Lord, help us to be able to receive from this now what you'd have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Brother Brenham says, and I want to talk to you this morning on cast your bread upon the waters. Brother Brenham says, we may mean this in our hearts as we speak it, Lord. Take a coal of fire off the Holy Ghost off the altar of Calvary. Touch each heart and lip tonight, Lord, that we speak no lies, that we speak the truth. Take us tonight, Lord, just what we are. All of us are not preachers. All of us are not prophets. All of us are not speakers with tongues. All of us are not miracle workers. But all of us have something to do. Show us where it is, Lord. Testify, sing, or Amen. Pray. And like bread upon the water, it will return some glorious day. Grant it, Lord. Here we are. Send us to our neighbors, to wherever we can, to our fellow men, and tell them of the coming of the Lord. Grant it. Amen. We all have something to do. Amen. And if we're the devil will always provide an excuse for us to neglect the service for the Lord. I would go and do that, but I've got this to do. I would get up and pray, but I've got this to do. I have this errand I have to run. I would go across the neighbor and talk to him, but we've got bad weather today. And if we watch the weather, and if we depend on our service for the Lord because of the weather, we'll never do anything. And as I was talking earlier, it was talking about a man that wasn't a minister. It was a man that just serving the Lord. This was just a man that was doing his job, selling probably a more neglected job than a vacuum cleaner salesman. A man that goes door to door selling medicine.
Right.
This is a man that goes just living his job, going door to door, and he don't even know who the next customer is going to be. He's just having to walk by faith. Not like these where you go down the street and you've got a house here and a house here and a house here. He goes a house, then he's going to walk another 35 minutes up a mountain and find a house and hope that they're home, hope they're not in the fields. But that was a man that wasn't a minister, but he was just a son of God in his position and doing what he was called to do. Amen. And if we wait for a perfect time, we'll never get anything done.
Right.
And it says, you know, it matters who we hang around. Because the people that we hang around, that's going to affect our positive attitude. It's going to affect your outlook on things. And I really want to speak to our young people especially, you know.
Amen.
It matters who we hang around.
Right.
Brother Brim says, he's talking about in the prodigal son. He says, but one day this younger son, let's say he would start going out with a group that he had no business going to. Listen, young man, here this afternoon, young lady, just as soon as you get out from under the Christian influence, you're in bad hands. You're on your road back right then. Remember that just as soon as you get from under the influence of the Holy Ghost, I don't care who the boy is or who the girl is, if they're not saved, keep away from them. That's exactly right. And men, you too. Somebody said, well, I can go into a bar room with a guy, I can drink Coke while he drinks beer and whiskey and come back out and be the same person. This is what the prophet says. I doubt it. That's right. The Bible says, shun every appearance of evil.
Right.
We say, well, I would never go to a bar room. I would never go to that, but there's a lot of things just as bad as a bar room. Amen?
Right.
It matters who we go around. If mama and daddy don't do it in their house, there's a reason for that. Amen?
Right.
And so if you go to somebody else's house and they've got that, shun the very appearance of evil.
Right.
Amen. Says, and here's another quote where Brother Graham says, and when God made the covenant with Abraham, remember it was unconditional. And God called you, not because you was a good person, but because unconditionally he called you. And by his grace, he gave you the Holy Spirit. You are a Lutheran, a Presbyterian, a Catholic, and by his grace, he called you and gave you his Spirit. Now listen to this. He says, the only thing you have to do is maintain in Christ. For that's where you, that's where the promised land, that's it, that's in Jesus is safe. And as long as you're in the tower of refuge in Christ, then you're safe from the things of the world. But when you go looking outside and flirt with the world, the first thing you know, you begin to walk out of Christ. Now you still have the covenant, but you've lost your blessing. Abraham had an unconditional covenant that couldn't be taken away from him. You know, if you look at Adam, he had a conditional covenant. He says, Adam, this, you're in the covenant, but if you, as soon as you partake of this tree, you're out. You've lost it. It was a conditional covenant, but with Abraham, he said, Abraham, I have already done it. It's yours. And I thank God that we have an unconditional covenant. Can you say amen?
Right.
If there was ever a man to make mistakes, it was Abraham.
Right.
But you know what? When Abraham disobeyed the Lord, it didn't knock him out of the covenant.
Right.
He just lost his blessing.
Right.
And a lot of times, that's why as a son and daughter of God, we know that as long as we follow the Lord, we're in the blessing. But as soon as we step out, we're going to lose that blessing. I want not just the covenant. I know I'm sealed with the Holy Ghost. I know I am. Can you say amen for yourself?
Amen.
I know I am. But I don't want just to be sealed in the Holy Ghost. I want the blessing.
Amen.
I want the blessing that comes with that.
Amen.
And when I have the blessing of the Holy Ghost inside my life, no matter what comes my way, I can stand my ground and say, devil, boo.
That's right.
Amen? No matter what the devil rises up ahead of you, you can stand your ground and say, devil, you ain't coming here. This is my house.
Right.
As long as you search your heart and say, God, am I pure? And that's why when I was looking at my phone, I was doing what the Word says to do. Search yourself first. Because if there's something there, that devil has a right to do what he's doing. That's right. If there's an unconfessed sin in your life, that sickness can stay right there. If there is an unconfessed sin in your life, that devil can stay right there. But as soon as you get that devil out and expose that devil, you can stand your ground and make that devil move. Amen.
Amen.
I want to see some devils move.
Amen.
I want to see some devils get out of the way where I can claim. You hear that we've got a book of Acts being written around us. Do you believe that?
Right.
We've got a book of Acts that happened there in Louisiana of a brother John gave the other day of how a little sister come to the front and claimed her children, and their children come running through the door after destroying his truck, runs to the front and gives his heart to the Lord. That's a book of Acts.
Yep.
You say amen?
Amen.
There's a book of Acts written where, you know, even in Honduras, the young couple, a mother and father, claim them by the blood of Jesus Christ and give her heart to the Lord. Book of Acts. While I was in Honduras, Brother Lorenzo, a pastor of a church, there was a sister that's been sick for years. Years. But she had something in her life, and the pastor knew, and he was ministering, get that out of your life. Get it out of your life. Get it out of your life. And try to counsel with her. Get it out of your life. And never would get it out of her life. And that sickness stayed right there. And this sister was at her deathbed. God will take you as far as he needs to get his attention. This sister was on her deathbed, and Brother Lorenzo is a pastor, but he also has a store and a banana trucks, and the Lord has blessed him. He was doing these things, and the Lord spoke to him. He says, now's the time. Go to her. Brother Lorenzo went to the hospital, and this woman is on her deathbed, fixing to die. Brother Lorenzo comes to her, and he walks to the door, and he says, sister, he says, you know, I've preached it for years. And she said, Brother Lorenzo, I know. She said, I want it out of my life. And that sister confessed that sin before the Lord. She don't have to confess it to Brother Lorenzo.
Right.
Confess it to God. She said, I want it out of my life. And she said, I don't even care about the healing. I just want that out of my life. And confessed it before God. He said, sister, we're going to pray with you right now. That you know, the Lord will surely forgive you. Prayed for the woman, and the woman instantaneously was healed. A pastor of a church. Went there. Something he'd been counseling over and over and over again. Get it out of your life. Get it out of your life. And she never wanted to get out of her life. And that devil would stay right there.
Right.
And as soon as she confessed it, that devil had to move. Amen.
Amen.
And there's a lot of times, you know, we've got things that we've been seeking God. I want God to move on this. I want God to move on this. I've beat on the altar. I've hollered. It don't come like that.
Right.
Obedience. You get that thing out of your life and move those things out of your life, and you know yourself what it is that the Lord deals with you on.
Yeah, that's
You move that thing out of your life and you confess and you say, you know what, I fell yesterday in it. Can you, you repent and you get back in line. And you say, God, I want that thing moved and I don't want it ever to come back. No, I heard a story one time about this spider that was going through and he was leaving spider webs and he didn't have to go through. And Brother John Bailey was kind of talking about the birds. I thought he was going to use that same story, kind of like that, but a little bit different. But, you know, the spider kept coming through and he was leaving cobwebs and you'd have to go through and get your little dust mop and you'd get the cobwebs out of the way and it looked good again. And in a couple more days, the old spider come back and he was putting more cobwebs. And pretty soon you can get a special tool to really get out there and you can clean the cobwebs really quick. And you can get there where you can deal with the cobwebs every week to week. You clean the cobwebs, spider comes back and does it again. Eventually, just kill the spider.
Yeah.
And when you kill the spider, you got the cobwebs, amen?
Amen.
Brother Brown talked about when you get a lion on you, a mountain lion on you, he said you can cut his paw off all you want to. Cut his paw off, it's scratching you. He's still got another paw. He's still got a mouth, but if you knock him in the head, it kills the whole thing. And I'm telling you what, we need to knock the devil in the head. You know, if you sign yourself, you're taking a step toward God, you're doing good, and all of a sudden you fall right back to the same old thing again.
Right.
You cut that paw off, you get back up, and you start serving the Lord again, and next thing you know, you fell right back to the same old thing again. Eventually, you've got to kill the spider.
That's right.
Eventually, you've got to kill that, you've got to knock him in the head.
That's right.
And say, God, I want to die to that old thing. That old nature has got to die. You're born with a nature on the inside of you that he wants the things of the world. He craves the things of the world. I can take a hog and I can clean him up, and I'll give you a little story. I kind of shared it in Honduras. You can take a hog and you can clean him up, shave him up, put cologne on him, put a hat on him, teach him to talk, and call him Mr. Hog. And this Mr. Hog can walk around and you can teach him to walk a certain way, and that old hog, he can walk. And he walks just like a fine gentleman. That hog will go around and smells good. He looks good. We have made him a civilized citizen. And he's walking around this hog. He looks good. He's doing fine. He looks good. But one day, they move into a house. He's got a nice house. And, you know, he's got a bathtub. He's got all these things. This Mr. Hog. And he looks like a civilized citizen. But one day it rains really hard. And that rain causes a mud puddle on the side of his house. And Mr. Hog, he's walking home. As he's getting closer to home, he smells something. You know what he smells? Mud. He goes through there. And there's something. There's a deep call to the deep. That old hog feels that. And he says, I feel the pool.
That's right.
And he goes straight to that mud pen just as quick as he can, because that's what he was made for. He was made for a mud pen. You can't condemn him for that. That's what he was created for. He was made for mud. That's like giving a young lady a yard sale or something. Me and my wife will be going down the road 65 miles an hour, and she'll say, yard sale. Like, how in the world did you see that? That was a deep call. Something on the inside. That old hog, you can't condemn him for it. That's his nature. And you know what? That's why a lot of times you can beat on a person with the gospel and say, why are you doing those things? Why are you doing those things? Why are you into the things of the world? It's their nature. It's the nature on the inside of them. And that nature longs for those things. It's like a hog seeking mud. He loves to do the things of the world. Is that right?
Yeah.
This guy loves comfort. This guy loves to be pampered. He loves to be told how good he is. You talk about someone, you see someone, say, especially a young lady. You see a lady walking through and says, boy, you've lost weight. I have. You know, they'll start talking, and I talk to a lot of ladies every day at work, and that's one of the best things in the world you could say. Sometimes. there has been a couple. I talked to a young lady yesterday. She came through, and she was one of our service writers. She got new glasses. She came through, and I said, boy, you look like you're a lot younger than that. And she said, you know what? I think so too. And this old young lady says, you know what? I bought glasses because I think the same thing. And it just started a big old conversation. Give somebody a compliment, amen? When you give somebody a compliment, it makes them feel good about yourself. This old flesh man, he likes to be comforted. He likes to be pampered. He likes to be told how good he is. And you know what? This guy right here, he'll go straight for the things of the world as quick as he can get there.
And you know, you can beat them, and that devil will pound your mind and say, you know what, you filthy, low down, hypocritical, unbelieving, un-son of God. Everything he can come up with, and you're saying, yep, you're right. Yes, I'm a hypocrite. Yes, I'm bad. You're right. I don't even deserve to worship. I don't even deserve to sing. I don't deserve to do anything. I am unworthy. Is that right? That devil will pound your mind. You know what? I can't do it. I'm not worthy of these things. I'm on probation. God don't do probation. God does repentance. Amen?
Right.
You say, I'm going to have to go for 90 days before I can lift my hands up and praise the Lord now because I fell on my face. You've got a nature inside. You've got to remember, you've got two things fighting inside you. You've got two things. You've got something on the inner man that wants to serve the Lord, but you've got this old guy also. And this guy don't want to do it. Is that right? This guy right here does not want to serve the Lord. He's your worst enemy. But you've got to realize that's not you. That is not the real you. The real you is that guy on the inside. And you say, God, forgive me. I don't want to do those things anymore. I don't want to fall. I don't want to do those things.
Man.
I want to serve you, Lord. That's the real you. That's the real you that wants to come out. And you know what? That's the thing we got to seek for. We got to feed that guy. You've got to maintain in Christ. Maintain in the word. Maintain in prayer. You know, brother, Jesus was talking to Paul, or Peter it was. When Peter was on the boat, he said, Lord, if that be you, bid me come. He said, come. He didn't say, no, wait a minute, let me go pray about it. Let me go do a 40-day fast. I don't like to rush into anything. Lord told me to do something. Let me fast about this. Let me seek God and see what the will of God is on this matter. Let me be sure. Is that what he did? He said, Jesus, or he said, Peter, come. Peter stepped out of the boat and started walking.
Yeah.
No Holy Ghost bumps, no great emotions. He heard the word, he says, come. He just started walking. A lot of times we as a flesh man, we want to wait for the emotion. We want to wait for the service isn't quite there yet. When you hear the word and there's something that says, you know what, that's right, start walking. And say, God, I claim that.
Amen.
He said that they claimed their children and their children were saved. I claim that, God. I'm not going to wait for that feeling leader to rise up to the certain point and say, okay, now I claim it. No.
Right.
As soon as you hear it, you say, I claim that. That's right.
Right.
Sister Hattie Wright was listening to the prophet talking about these things, about the third pool. And when she was sitting there, she didn't wait on a 40-day fast. She heard it and she says, you know what? That ain't nothing but the truth. I believe that. And God honored her confession on that. God honored that because not because she was looking for emotions, not for those things. She believed it. She said, I believe that. You know what? And you know, we talked about these things that rise up in our lives. I want to move devils out of my way. Amen? I want the devil to move out of my way. I want to see where you say, you know what? I'm testifying to what I see God doing. I see God moving in my life, the book of Acts. Who's got a story of the book of Acts this morning? Well, we got a couple of them. We got two anyhow.
Amen.
I know we got a lot more than that. Just hands ain't going up. You know what? The thing about the book of Acts is people talk about it.
That's right.
That's exactly right. They talk about it and the devils trembled. There was no strength left in. When they got to Jericho, Sister Rahab, when she heard that, the people around her says, we have heard what your God has done and that there is no strength left within us, because they heard testimonies. They heard people talking about what God done in their life. Cast your bread upon the water. Do something. Throw something out and say, God, you know what? I'm not a minister. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a singer. But I'm going to cast my bread on the water this morning because I know it's going to come back to me. You say amen? I don't, you know what, I don't know, because he says, you know what, you don't know if it's going to rain tomorrow. You know if it's going to be cloudy tomorrow. You don't know. But you got to do something. Throw your bread out in the water and say something good to somebody about the Lord. Talk to somebody about the gospel, what God's done in your life. Start sowing seeds. Start sowing seeds of the word. When you talk to your unbelieving children, sow a seed. When you talk to someone that's fallen away from church, hello, brother. Hello, sister. And you talk to them just like they're one of us and never left. Amen?
Right.
Sow good things. Cast your bread upon the water. Because sometimes you don't even know who you're talking to. That man that, he was a construction worker, had no idea who we were talking to, had no idea. And a year and a half later, find out the man gave his heart to the Lord. See, that's because you're a minister, but no.
It's because it's God's word. And when you confess the word, God's going to bring it to pass. Amen? God's going to make it come to pass when you speak the word. Brother Branham says, cast your bread upon the water. It'll return to you someday. Sow the right seed, you'll reap the right crop. If you sow the wrong seed, you'll reap the wrong thing. You can't go east and west at the same time. You're either going one way or the other. You're either pointed towards God this morning with all you got looking to Him, or you're pointed the other way. You think sometime you're going right when you're going wrong. And you can't go the right and to the left at the same time. If you're headed left, you're going left and you'll come out left. If you're headed right, you'll come out right. You can't keep coming from the right. It may seem like you're going wrong, but you're going left. Sounds confusing, doesn't it? Follow the compass, and the compass is the Holy Spirit. The magnetic pole of the north holds that compass straight north. Isn't that wonderful? That's the electronics of the air. A lot of times, you know, you feel like you're going in the right direction, and you keep going through, and somehow you find out, how in the world did I end up here? You say, amen. You're going forward, and you say, how did I end up here? And all you got to do is seek God. Say, God, where is that north pole? Send me straight to the right direction. Because when you keep walking the right direction, you're going to get the right thing. When you keep seeking the Lord, but listen, man, I want the young people, just on my heart, really strong. You want to see God's blessing. You know why? If you're going in the right direction, you should see fruits of that. If you're going in the right direction, God will show you signs of life. If you're going the right direction, you'll see fruits. And if you're not seeing fruits, something's wrong. You start seeking yourself and say, God, what's wrong? Because I want the fruits in my life. Because if the life is right, if it's right, then help me be in the right place where I can be right. Because I want the fruits. But you've got to be in the right place. And if you're not seeing fruits in your life of getting closer to the Lord, closer to the Lord, closer to the Lord, something's wrong. He says, because if you keep going west, you're going to keep, that's the way you're going to go. If you keep going east, that's the way you're going to go. If you're not finding fruits in your life and you keep going the direction you're going, nothing's going to change. He said, Brother Daniel, that's simple. It is simple. If I'm not seeing the fruits of the word in my life and I keep going the same direction, I'm going to get the same result. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and think you're going to get a different result.
Right.
Part of maturity is when you learn, this ain't working. I need to
That's
do something
right.
different.
That's exactly right.
You can try that as a young child. You can try that and get by with it. And to a point, you can say, well, that's understandable. They're young. But we're not young anymore. The bride's mature now. The bride is supposed to be at a time of maturity now where we don't need babied all the time. We don't have to be laying down the grounds of repentance all the time or be baptized again all the time. No, we don't have to do those things. We need to be mature as a mature Christian and say, get out of this stuff, this garbage, because I get the same results.
Right.
Every time I go this way, I smell that mud pen and I fall right back into it. And we know the nature of the hog will do that. But your flesh, man, you got to remember, this guy's not saved. This guy will do the things of the world. He'll pull you to the world. This guy right here will. And the only thing that you can conquer this guy is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the only thing that can bring him to subjection. The only thing. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because when you try to do it with a mental conception, you'll do it for a little while. If I can talk you into buying a car, I can talk you out of it. That's right. If I can talk you into anything, I can talk you out of it. Because that's what Billy Graham did. That's the thing with him. During his meetings he had, he would have 10,000 come to the altar. He'd come back 2 years later, couldn't find 10.
Yep.
Why? Because they come to the altar, they pray, but they never die to the inside. You got to die to yourself. Were you not just seeking the Lord and say, oh, God, forgive me. No, you got to stay there and say, God, kill me.
Yeah.
Let this old guy die. This guy on the inside of me, let him rot away, God. I don't want to get on this altar until he's dead. And he don't come up no more. If you've got a dead man laying there and I slept that man, he's just going to lay there. He's dead. Amen.
That's right.
I think the Lord will bring tests on us sometimes. Amen. He'll bring tests not because he wants to see you fail,
but because he knows what's inside you and he knows how to get it out of you. God knows whenever you've got, if you've got a splinter on the inside, so I keep tying right back to that. It's not wonderful how the Lord does that, ain't it? You can get a splinter on the inside of you and that thing can stay right there. That splinter will move right there unless, by the grace of God, you grab a door handle.
Right.
And by the grace of God, you grab that handle and you say, ow. If that would have never happened, that splinter would stay right in your hand. So it's grace.
Right.
I thank you, Lord, that someone broke into my car and stole my stuff. I thank you, Lord, because that made me say, Lord, is there a splinter there? You say amen?
Amen.
But now, I don't want someone stealing from me. They didn't steal it from us anyway. They stole it from God. No, whenever, nothing can happen to us unless God allows it. Nothing. He can't even tempt you unless God allows it. God allows it, and then when he tempts you, he'll never tempt you, be able to tempt you more than you can bear, because God will always leave a way of escape. Always remember that. When you're being tempted by something, and it just tempted, and you say, no, I'm not doing those things. And that tempted keeps coming back, I know I'm not going to do those things. The scripture says, resist the devil steadfast, and he'll flee from you. And always remember the scripture. It says he'll never allow you to be tempted more than you can bear. He'll always leave a way of escape. And when that spirit of anointing, of temptation comes over you and it's pounding your mind, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. And you know what your temptation is. When that temptation keeps coming towards you, you take the word and use the word. That's what God wants us to do. Use the word to beat the devil.
Right.
Because if you try to do it yourself, you won't do it. He'll beat you all over the place. Use the word. Say, you know what? The word says, resist the devil steadfast and he'll flee from me.
Amen.
The word says he'll never tempt me more than I can bear. God's going to leave me escape and then look for the escape.
Amen.
Because that's, I'm telling you what, this is ground level. This is what we do. We have to fight this every day. We have to fight the devil every day. We want to tell you how to whoop him. Who wants to whoop the devil?
Amen.
I remember my uncle, he used to tell me, he said, all right, I want you to go up there and have a big ring there. He said, this is what I want you to do. You listen, you do this, you do that. He was my guide. He was my teacher. Sometimes he wasn't a very good teacher. God, we got a good teacher this morning. He's going to tell you how you can whoop the devil. Use the word on him. When Jesus beat the devil, how did he beat the devil? Did he stand there and speak in tongues? Did he shout? Did he sing? He said, the Lord rebuke you. Man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
He used the word on him. And that's the same way we're going to beat the devil. You know, if you want to beat the devil, use the word on him this morning.
Amen.
And you say, you know what? I may not feel like I've got faith. I may not feel like I've got this. Jesus didn't ever ask you how you felt. He said, do you believe it? I believe it this morning.
Amen.
I want to see that devil move out of my life. You've got children that are out there. Use the word on him this morning. It may look impossible right now. With man it is. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
I'm claiming them by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not just my son, but her too. I claim them both by the blood. Amen.
Amen.
I claim my brothers by the blood. I claim them. Amen. I claim my mom by the blood. Amen. If you got children, I claim my children by the blood. Amen. Because I'm going to ask you, do you have the token applied? You got the token applied? I've got the token applied. If I've got the goods, if I've done everything I'm supposed to do, if I've applied the token, I've said, you know what, Lord, I've cleaned my house. I've applied the token in my life. I've got this devil over here that's trying to take my property. I'm claiming my blood. I'm claiming it. I say, God, I claim it in Jesus' name. And see if they don't start moving. Speak it. Start speaking into existence every day. Cast your bread upon the water. Start casting it every single day. You cast it on the water. Say, God, I claim it in Jesus' name. I claim it in Jesus' name. You want to see God open a, if it's his will to give us another building where we've got somewhere, start casting on the water. Start speaking that and say, God, if we're doing anything wrong, anything that'll hinder the flow, God, get it out of us because I want to be on the move. If God's moving this way, I want nothing in the congregation that's going to hold it from moving, especially if it's me. You say amen? Because I want to see God move. If there's signs of life, if there's life, there's signs of life. I want to see the signs of life. If there's not signs of life, what decisions do we need to make? What changes do I need to make to see the signs of life?
Amen.
You know, if you're in a service, you know, if I'm not seeing things going a certain way, something's got to change. Move something out of the way because I want the full potential.
Amen.
That's right. You know, it's me, and I always tie my sermons to my work. If I'm at work, I cannot know where to get a customer to come buy a car for me. I don't know, but I know what I can do. I can put myself in the most successful position that I can be. Where if there is going to be a car sale, it's going to be me. That's one thing I can do. You don't know what God's going to do in your life tomorrow, today, the next day. You have no idea. You don't know what's going to, but what you can do is put yourself in a place where you can be successful. Where if there's going to be a blessing, I'm going to have the blessing.
Amen.
If there's going to be a blessing in Arkansas today, it's going to be on Daniel Black. You got to say the same thing for yourself. If there's going to be a blessing in Walmart Corporation tomorrow, it's Jim Lane. He says, it's me. If there's one today, it's mine. I'm seeking for my blessing. Because I don't want just the covenant. I want the blessing. Amen?
Amen.
Devil can't steal your salvation, but he can steal the joy of your salvation. He can steal it away. Well, yeah, you're saved, but you're not happy. You don't.
How do some people say, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. You look like you're doing great. We had a salesman yesterday. He was off the road, and he came through, and I don't say it to pick on him, but I guess in a way I do. We come through there, and me and him's pretty good friends now. We're talking, but older man, probably in his 60s, he walked up, and I said, well, how you doing today? He said, kind of leaning his wall. I said, I'm doing absolutely fabulous.
I said, well, boy, I tell you what, you're just overwhelmed with fabulous.
I'm just fabulous. If things are any better, I just jump. I like to see you walk.
I'm about half dead.
I'm just so happy. So bundled with joy.
Let's be happy, amen. Let's rise. He said, you know what? I've had a long week. I've worked 75 hours this week, 73. If I can praise the Lord, you can too, amen. Brother Branham talked about how he says, I'm getting so old, I can't praise the Lord. And, well, they see that old brother and sister come up, and Brother Branham says, straighten his back up. Whoop, I'm fine. I'm feeling good. Man, let's praise the Lord. Sometimes you just got to get out of your comfort zone. And you'll find out when you get out of your comfort zone, that's when you get the results. Is that right?
Amen.
If you're lifting weights, if you go straight until you get out of your comfort zone and you quit, you'll never gain nothing. But when you get out of your comfort zone, you'll start reaching. That's when you start claiming heights. And I'll tell you what, that's the way it is with the Lord too. When you get out of your comfort zone, I'm going to tell you the way it is. And when you're coming home and you feel tired and you feel exhausted and you're like, you know what, I don't feel like I can pray, I don't feel like I can read, you press right then. You press and you get on your knees and say, God, I'm tired in my body. I'm tired in my spirit. I'm tired, but God, I am putting this before you. I'm sacrificing this time. God, I want to have more of you. And you see if God don't honor that and God don't start blessing you. Amen. You start claiming the things that we've talked about this morning, and you lay in your arms and say, you know what, there is something and I want to move. During those times, you say, God, I'm tired, I'm labored, I know I am, but God, I'm claiming it right now. During your hard times, you start claiming God, because through your weakness, that's when he's strong.
Amen.
That's right. Through our weakness, that's when he's strong. But a lot of times, that's why he can't be strong, because we're strong. Amen.
Amen.
Cast your bread upon the water. I want to encourage you. You cast your bread upon the water and give God opportunity to move in your life.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. I know we've got a busy afternoon today. Cast your bread upon the water. Get out of your comfort zone. Whenever you feel tired and when you're under the pressure, cast your bread upon the water. Say, God, you know what? I'm tired, but I'm going to cast this forth because I don't know what's going to come from this. Because I want to see God move in my life.
It's wonderful for me to see what God moves in Brother Tony's life. It's wonderful to see in Brother Tim's life, Sister Elisa's life. I want to see God in my life. Say amen. I want my book of Acts to be written. I want my book of Acts to be shared of what God's done in my life. Because we can have it. You've got the life. You're going to have the fruit. Amen. Get a song. Highest mountain. Do you know what song? I'm just going to try to sing that song. My Lord is on the highest mountain. I was thinking you mentioned that back in the back.
Oh, that one we're singing for service, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
no matter where you go, you'll find the Lord right there working on behalf of the believer. His mercy, His grace is from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. So, Brother Daniel's right, you know. Prepare yourself for the Lord to bless you. If you open your eyes, I'm sure of this, if you open your eyes and just look for God every day, you will see Him in all the little details because He's there all the time. Mm-hmm. And He wants to edify you. He wants to do things to show you that He's there with you. And, of course, He does send you through battles. He sends you through trials. Those things are there to strengthen you. Brother Scott, what you just suffered was to strengthen you, brother.
Yep.
And I know he probably's like, well, I don't know how that is, but anyway, trust me.
Yep.
God never wastes pain.
That's right.
You understand that? God never wastes pain because that pain, it will accomplish something on behalf of the believer. It'll make you stronger. It'll make you tougher. It'll give you greater heights of faith. Those things will happen. Like Brother Daniel's phone. He lost his phone, you know. Now he comes out. He knows how to deal with it. You know, he was talking about how that he felt depressed or whatever. And I remember stories where Brother Brown would talk about how those things would happen, you know. And how the Lord would always, if you just stand there and just wait on the Lord, He'll always come forth. I remember when we went to Frontera, Mexico, and I was supposed to preach a Sunday morning service there, and sitting on the platform, and just such an evil demonic presence come into the service, and I was just, and it tried to grip me with fear. I mean, it actually tried to tell me, if you get up there behind that pulpit and you start trying to preach, I'm going to make a fool out of you.
Yeah.
That's what he was trying to tell me, and just almost choking me.
Yeah.
And it was like an hour and 20 minute song service. That was really long, and maybe that had to be that way because, you know, I just sat there and fought. You know, it's just in the spirit. You know, you can't just rise up and do nothing, but just in the spirit, just keep saying, God, it's Your word. You've called me, and I don't have to tell you what happened. You know, I got up and ministered the word of the Lord. We had an excellent service. And the devil sat just as quiet as could be. You never heard another peep from him.
Yep.
But, you know, I've been through that. Now, I seen it. See, I heard Brother Ram talk about it, right? Then I saw it myself. I've seen God, and He is fabulous in warfare, right? He's a great conqueror, and He will always destroy the enemy that rises up in front of the believer. Brother Daniel could see that in his experience, that like with the phone and things like that. He knows that God is faithful to His word, and He will do what He said. But you know what? You got to give Him a chance. You got to cast Him bread upon the waters. Give God a chance to bless you. Position yourself according to the word so God can come in there and do something. But if you're always just going about running around, you never give Him a chance. Stop in the morning and give Him a chance to speak to you. Your day will be so much better if you'll just spend some time alone with the Lord, and He'll speak something to you, and you'll rise up from that prayer or from that Bible reading, and you will have purpose in your footsteps for the day, and maybe for more than one day. That one blessing, just to have Him give a nod and have Him speak to you, is worth all the world. It's more than the world. But you got to give Him a chance to do that. Amen. And then you know what? As God is blessing you, people watch. People see that. The fame of what God will do in your life, and I'll call it fame, the book of Acts, that word will go out. Your friends, your family, they'll talk about it.
That's right.
It'll sweep and it'll reach out there and it'll be used of God. You know, that when Brother Branham, that child was raised from the dead there in Finland. You know, that prophecy had went out, I don't know, it was years, I guess, and people had it written in their Bible. He told exactly what the kind of rocks there were, trees on the side of the road, and said that, you know, in the vision, this child would be raised from the dead. It had been hit and killed in the car wreck. And it was on a bicycle. So he, you know, most of you know the story, but he was in Finland coming down through the mountains, had government officials with him in the motorcade. Was it done in the corner?
Right.
Come upon a scene where a car hit a couple of boys on a bicycle, killed him. I think his head was smashed in and so forth. And God raised that child from the dead right there. And, you know, I just went to Turkey here a couple of years ago. And the guy that Voice of God Recordings, man, there over that Voice of God Recordings there in Finland, in Helsinki, he took me out and showed me some of the places where Brother Branham was when he was there. And he took me to a bridge that separated between the Soviet soldiers and the Finnish soldiers. And they brought Brother Branham up there to that bridge and showed him across the river. And then Russian soldiers, and they were standing there, and he was looking across, and he said, they all began to stir, all the military, like they were getting ready to do something. So they rushed Brother Branham out of there, and the next day it came out in the Russian newspapers that Finland brought one of their top spy advisors out to see what they're... Said, you don't know what kind of advisor this guy was, you know. But he showed me that. And when that child was raised from the dead, that hundreds of years or however long it is, fighting between them Russian soldiers and Finnish soldiers, and them soldiers were hung on their neck with tears running down their... And them Russian soldiers said, we'll serve a God like that. That raising of that dead went all down through Russia, all through the Soviet Union. That the fame of that went all through there. They all know about it. It wasn't hidden. Those people deep in those villages and places all over there, they heard about that raising of the dead in that day. Just like people in our country saw the things that, you know, they don't tell you about it now.
Right.
But there was a day where there's people. Look at Brother Forrest Farmer, you know. You know his testimony, how what happened there. Brother Cliff, his son, was with us last week. You know, Brother Forrest was in Mexico here several years ago. Remember, he's visiting a place there, and they had a well, but the well was dry.
Right.
And they were up on a hill. That well, I think a dug well, was dry. And he watched the people going down carrying water from down below, right? And God put a burden on his heart. And he grabbed that bucket. They had that bucket thing with two buckets on both sides. Brother Force went down to that stream down there, and the brother's there trying to get him to carry it. He said, no, I got to do this. I got to carry this. And he went down there and got that water in them buckets, carried it up there, and poured it into that well. And that well became, I think they said, overflowing well. But that well became alive, and it's still alive today. And that fame of that went all across Mexico, all the way down through there. The people know about that well, that it was brought back to life. That's Brother Forrest. We've shook hands with him, eat with him. We know him. Our God's alive.
Yeah. Right.
And he's ready to do just exactly what he said he would do.
That's right.
You will see him every day if you'll just give him a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it. I love to see the Lord work the way he does. Brother Daniel said maturity there. I wrote it down, but that's good. Maturity, and this isn't exactly maybe the way he said it, but just the way it came to me, write it down. But the maturity is knowing what kind of seed to sow to get the results that you want.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Knowing what to do to make it come out right. That's maturity.
Yeah.
Amen? Both in physical. If you want to get a new vehicle, or if you young people want to get a vehicle, you're going to have to work. You know what kind of seeds to sow. Is it get you a vehicle or whatever it is you're needing? Same way spiritually. If you want the blessings of the Lord, you got to cast the bread upon the water. So, I mean, love that this morning. It was good.
Yeah.
I appreciate seeing what the Lord does there in Honduras, Nicaragua. And, you know, only eternity will tell. But I want you to know, we don't say a whole lot. I know Brother Daniel and I, we don't really say a whole lot about what we do in missions, but you mentioned the Bibles you bought this time was how many?
60.
And this is the third time that we've bought Bibles, and so we've purchased Bibles many times in the past to the church, okay, out of missions here. I want you to know what your missions money does. And of course, it sends Brother Daniel down there, right?
That's right.
And it's pays for his way down there and back. But we've put roofs on church buildings, right?
That's
what
right.
else? Brother comes
floors.
To floors.
Floors. We sent an offering, which it came from another offering that was given to me. We're doing a floor in Puerto Cabeza
mm-hmm.
right now. Matter of fact, they're Amen. Installing that floor right now in Puerto Cabeza.
Amen. And so, and then there's a lot of times that Brother Paco, you know, he ministers the word himself, and every person I've ever met, he actually translated for Brother Cliff mm-hmm. on trips. Every person I've ever talked to that that knows Brother Paco says he's the real deal. He's got a sign on the front of his vehicle that says, "I'm bringing the message of life." Isn't that what it says? When everywhere he goes, it says, "I'm bringing the message of life." And the reason why I say that is because we know, I think Brother Graham talked about this, that if you'll go into a place and get somebody, get a convert, that person will take it to his own people.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
So we saw the example of that. Just a man who was listening to Brother Daniel preach, sat down underneath a tree, gave his heart to the Lord, and unknown to Brother Daniel until this trip, he comes back and finds out this man has went back and now has got 15 believers in his home, coming having services in his home. See, so these things will take place and happen, and God just multiplies it. And so, I just want you to know that there are several things that we are involved in there, and we support Brother Paco. Because he's a man that will take it to his own people.
That's right.
So there's many times that he goes on many missions trips in his own country, going and taking it to the mountains, and we help him with expenses, and he's always faithful. We require it, but he's also faithful to do it. He'll always send us receipts back to prove and show what he used the money for. And so, we trust the man, but, we just do that. And so just want you to know that we don't really say a whole lot about it, but your missions money goes out there and it gets stuff done. And so we praise the Lord for that. Amen. One of these days when we get over there, those people come and walk up to you. They'll identify themselves to you and say, "I'm here because of you."
Amen.
Amen. And we will forever in that realm, that dimension, we will forever be associated with those converts. They will be our brothers and sisters, and they will look to us, and we'll look to them and know that we had impact on each other's life here in this world, and that impact will last throughout eternity. Amen. You love the Lord.
Amen.
We'll pray. Just bow our hearts and pray, and Brother Ken gets a song. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for being with us this morning and speaking to our hearts, letting us to see, Lord, that your hand is so rich among us, just encouraging us, Lord, just to believe that much more in you. Cast our bread upon the waters, just to believe and know that as we do something in the name of the Lord, that the blessings and that which it accomplishes will come to pass, and those blessings will come back and meet us. Lord, there's many days we might wonder, sometimes the efforts we put forth, is it really gonna bring forth fruit, Lord? As we've heard this morning, according to your word, it always brings forth the fruit in your time. We thank you, Lord, for this mission trip Brother Daniel was able to go on, that you took him there, you kept him safe along the way, brought him back safely, and Lord, that there's fruit to that ministry down there in those mountains, places probably most of us will never go and see. But we believe, Lord, that someday we'll shake hands and hug the neck of those believers, Lord, and be forever associated with them. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Ask God that you'd help us rise up in faith and believe, casting our bread upon the waters, as Brother Daniel ministered this morning. We give this, the days ahead, into your hands, asking in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Dismissed.